WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively back at what I would call the first home of Baltimore Positive. We are in Catonsville, the 21228. The Don Moeller and the whole Moeller family, and let's see, David Thurston and all my friends and Lou Weinkam and all the Catonsville crew here, Evan Brown. We're at State Fair, and we are celebrating springtime with the Maryland Lottery as well as with a crab cake. This guy's already had a crab cake. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'm giving these away. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's a bunch of people in here today. Everybody at the bar, they don't know. They're going to have a chance to win $10,000. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. I'm going to put the wacky hat on. This guy is sort of wacky. I've had some fun guests, and part of the Crab Cake Tour is inviting people out. My dear friend Tom Gavin of Gavin's DJ Delights, back when I was a DJ in the 90s, did the show over at the Heavy Seas last year. So here at State Fair today, we have my friend Josh Levine, who has been DJing for me, parties. Give me the whole story about, like, you're a listener, but all I remember is you did my parties. Bobby Nick wasn't available at various points, had some off-the-field issues before he passed, the late, great Bobby Nick. And you took over ballroom DJ duties for me with your dad, as I remember in the Joe Flacco era. You know, back when we won Super Bowls and stuff, right?
Yeah, we won playoff games.
We won a lot of things. We did. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me
Welcome to Catonsville. It's not often that I actually dine with a friend. And we had we ate a whole meal at a Cobb Sal, was delicious. Where I ban you from saying anything that we're going to say on the air. So we talked a little bit, but we haven't talked about DJing, the Orioles, the Ravens, your business. How's business? Parties are happening again, right?
You know, after a couple of years banished to my basement and trying to do virtual parties for myself, which was really strange.
I remember that.
Oh, my God. What a...
I had entertainment. I had Ray Bachman doing trivia, right? Eddie Lauer and Jason Seamer were doing, like, basement broadcasts.
Yeah.
You were throwing bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs from, like, a basement.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was
Electra Entertainment. I want to get your whole deal out, right?
Yep. Electra Entertainment. So we've been around since... 1999, I started the company when I was bored in my fraternity house.
Well, that's right when I got out of DJing.
Right. Yeah, well, I had to take over.
I DJed from 1991 until about, probably my last gig was 97 or 98, 99, in that range. Because I got the radio. Once I got the radio station, there was just a lot going on.
Right.
You know, on Saturdays and Sundays, to be thinking that it was still a business that I would sub out people. Howard Scher, Hump and Howie, as we called him back in the day, who now owns a duck cleaning business, and Howard's been on the show. Howard's coming down the Crab Cake Tour. He did Beaumont with me last year.
Yeah.
So you're, no offense, man, but I love DJs. You're one of them. I'm one of them, right? Forever.
Yep.
We've lost Batman. We've lost Bobby Nick.
Yep.
Who would be great, great guests.
Ugh.
So I have to backfill. You know what I mean? So you, Tom Gavin, Hump and Howie. But DJs touch people and play music. And, you know, I've been at SEAL the last couple nights. I'm wearing my Aerosmith belt for Bill Weidel from CFG Bank Arena today. You love music
love
and
it.
You love parties.
Yep.
And have you ever had a real job?
No. I mean,
this is all you've done.
Parties.
God, in 1993. If this radio thing doesn't work out for me, I'll go back, you know.
It's
a lot lighter to be a DJ now. Being a DJ in the 90s
sucked. Definitely a lot lighter, without a doubt. No kidding.
Last year, we cleaned out the radio station, and I found my PV-1502s.
I had a pair of those back in the day.
Everybody had PV-1502s,
right?
You
also had a
ultimate stand, right?
And a ultimates, yep.
You had to get under it. But it had I had great grips on it.
Yep. And that's where you learn to look with
still
your
worked.
Legs, not your back.
When I got rid of it last year, it still worked.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
The woofers,
they were bulletproof.
I DJed outdoor parties for Jay Pivick from Toyota. Love you, Jay, over in Eastern Shore. 1,000 people, and you would have thought I brought Led Zeppelin in. Yeah, PV-1502s.
Oh, yeah.
Great I'm nerding power. Out on DJ stuff, but it's like an easier gig now. It's a laptop.
Without a doubt.
It is what it is, right?
Well, it's a laptop.
You don't have Newmark mixers and boop, 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 boop. No?
Well, I have Pioneers, and it's a controller, and it looks like they're turntables. But they all wire into the laptop.
It's an optical illusion.
Well, it works, but it's not like lugging crates and
you're not DJ Jazzy Jeff anymore.
Right, yeah. Right. No, those days are done. There's some guys who will still do it.
Drop the needle and pray.
Exactly. needle.
That's what I'm saying.
And $250 to replace said needle when you break
so
it.
I would go out to Gordon Miller Music, by the way. So, you know, and I had my own equipment, but I've been in some rooms where I've DJed. So, like, I was at the Emerald Tavern, and I was the house DJ there on Sunday and Thursday for Harvey. What is now Zen West was once a pizza joint off Lloyd. What was that place called, Pica? Zen West in Belvedere Square, back when you were in college. Come on. He did Pica didn't drink when he was in college. Gator's Pub. Gator's Pub. Does that not ring a bell?
Yeah.
It rings a bell. So that's where I met Joe Enoch, was at Gator's Pub. So I DJed there for the girls on Wednesday night. And the music then was like Spin Doctors, Slam Onyx. I mean, I'm just thinking...
Yeah.
That was the
OPP,
era of music.
OPP, Naughty
you know
by
me.
Nature.
Right,
yeah,
right, right. So early 90s, Bust a Move, you know, that
House
kind of stuff.
Pain, Jump Around.
Yeah, Sir Mix-a-Lot. Yeah. You know, that was sort of the music. But I had CDs from my era of being a music critic in these red boxes. I remember telling Gavin about this. I had 8 toolboxes that had CDs out of their jewel boxes that I put in the plastic sleeves that I ordered from some company in Minneapolis. Seriously, I still have them.
No, I buy it.
And I would pack the back of my Jeep and my PV1502s and my mixer and my mixing box, and I had a Carver amp, and I had Newmark mixer, and then I had some other kind of mixer. They blew up, right? But I would run into Batman at a Gordon Miller Music, and I was using the same equipment he was using, rocking, you know, Ocean City and Fager's Island,
right?
Like big, big equipment.
He's the legend.
Because you had to have it.
Right.
It broke my back. I got an upstairs job at Hopkins University in some building that was built like when Johns Hopkins was alive, like in the 1600s. And it was a spiral staircase to this building. It felt like the building was going to fall over. And I remember showing up for this job. And of course, it was 112 degrees. It was a tuxedo job, right? So I'm in shorts and like my shirts. I'm carrying stuff up. And I'm thinking to myself, No. You got to tell me this is an extra $200. This is like telling the refrigerator repairman it's on the 8th floor.
Right. Exactly.
No. Right. We're not doing that.
And how do you carry speakers up a spiral?
But you don't do that anymore, right? Like they're little lightweight.
Yeah. I mean, the heaviest speaker that I have now is probably 40 pounds, and it puts out 1,000 watts.
Enough.
I mean,
yeah.
Would I blare it to get its 1,000 watts? No. But it's got enough. And people are going to have a good time. They're going to hear it. It's going to be crystal clear.
So you throw parties, man. I've seen you on the internet.
That's what I do. Yep.
Really, what you do. But you don't do as many weddings. You're not at state fair spinning tunes at midnight for people that want to dance or whatever, right? Like you've really become a bar and bar mitzvah specialist.
Yeah. Yeah. So we made a decision. We've been in business since 99, and we were doing weddings with everybody else. But, you know, I grew up going to bar and bat mitzvahs, and I wanted to get into
I hear
that
you
market.
Had a hell of a bat mitzvah.
It was a good one. You know,
I've seen pictures.
I redefined tuxedo style.
I'm going to make you tell the story of your bar mitzvah and how it affected your life.
Yeah.
And it involves Hulk Hogan. It involves Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
It does. It's a true story.
It is a true story.
I know too much about you, Josh.
It's pretty impressive,
really,
isn't it?
I do. So you DJed like I DJed in the late 90s. You're willing to take on parties. I've talked to Tom Gavin and Howard about this. Like, any job was a good job. I was the house DJ at Michael's 8th Avenue for the late, great Scott Wagner, whom I just love. I think of him all the time. I hear his voice all the time.
Yep.
And, you know, he would always say, I got my end. Just load in the back. You know, we're going to feed you good. You know, we always say. So I gain weight. I've slimmed down.
God. Well, I'm still slimming
up.
Dude,
I ate 2 weddings every Saturday and Sunday, and I had wedding cake. And
then
I was
you had
single.
To have the, and then you had to have something
and I would
on
dance,
the ride home.
And sometimes I get a phone number. It was great, you know?
Yeah, and then you had to have something on
it's
the ride
good
home, though, because it's 2 in the morning.
Did sports radio all week, DJ weddings and parties on Saturday, DJ clubs in the evening.
Yep.
I DJed it at Bohager's on Friday and Saturday nights with Steve Michaels down there from Mix 106.
I did one shift at Bohager's.
Yeah.
I lasted one night, and I was like,
another
I can't
late, great DJ. God, I'd sell my soul to
so
have these people
ones.
On the show right now.
Yeah, well, I was telling you before, Bobby Nick, what a legend, and I got a great story about Nick if you got a minute.
I got pictures of him on stage with Stacy Keibler at Whiskey Joe's Hall of Famer Stacey Keebler.
Hall of Famer, that's right.
Former WNSD intern Stacey Keebler. I still have not put up the pictures that I have of her internship at NSD because she and I took a lot of pictures. We were friends. I mean, I still love Stacey. I got to get her on the show at some point, but I've been following her. But my image of Bobby Nick is with Stacey Keebler on stage. Bobby's probably wearing a skirt or something.
That sounds
or
about
underwear.
Right.
Yep. He's wearing like a raven.
At least a tutu right.
Pampers, something like diaper. I don't know what the hell it was. But Bobby Nick, I want to hear your story, but mine's older.
Yeah. Fair.
Bobby Nick was the high school basketball coach at Wild Lake trying to beat Dave Greenberg out here at Mount Hebron. I was notebook nester at Wild Lake practice, and Bobby Nick was the coach talking to me about running a four corners offense because there was no shot clock in Howard County girls basketball at that time.
Right.
How I remember-ish that happened in 1987, 88. Chris Berg, I love you. I still have a crush on you. Chris Berg was the center. It was a thing. So anyway, I love Chris. So she played on his team, and then I went on the radio 5 years later. And he started calling in. His name's Bobby Nicky Fortune.
Yep.
Right? Coach Nicky Fortune. He was a Spanish teacher at Hammond High School. My dear friend Kevin Eck, his old girlfriend, had Mr. Nicky Fortune, you know, so all these stories. The girl I took to Super Bowl 35, Elise, love you too. She was my girlfriend at the time of the Super Bowl. She went to Super Bowl 35 with me. She called him Mr. Nicky. She took Spanish with him.
Right.
Right. So he was a Spanish teacher who was a basketball coach, who was a basketball official.
Yep.
He had a whistle and a zebra outfit, who was the wacky DJ at Zoomerang, many, many major events. Oh, Bobby Nick.
All of them.
He had a box of
wins.
Stuff.
Yeah.
He came with a prop box.
Oh, yeah. He was a show, not just a D. He was a show.
So when did you meet Bobby?
So when I wasn't a guest and I met him in the industry, it was 1995. And it was my third event with the company that I was working for.
You're a kid.
I'm in high school.
16 years old.
I'm 16. I'm in high school.
I know when your bar mitzvah was. I saw the picture.
Exactly.
Bar mitzvah, 91, 78. Okay. Yeah. I know what year you were born. Go.
Yep. I couldn't even drive to the event. My boss at the time had to drive me because legally I couldn't drive after midnight and the party was ending at 11:30. So
you're on your learner's permit.
I didn't have to have my parents. It was the provisional.
Provisional,
license.
That's the word.
I don't know if that's still a thing.
I haven't had one. Provisional. There you go. I like that. Provisional.
So you couldn't drive between midnight
FCC
and
license.
5 a.m. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
32 years in.
We'll let you do some things, maybe
but not
everything.
Right.
So here I am as a kid, and it was actually for a radio station. They're not around anymore.
You can name any radio station you want here.
So, well, just, 1570 is where it's at. But this was, it was 105.7 WQSR.
QSR, oldies.
QSR, the oldies,
Steve
right.
Steve Rouse, okay.
And so
Downtown Diane, Steve Rouse.
Yep.
Tom Davis.
So Bobby was the DJ, and he hired my boss to actually do the music part so he could do his shtick.
Perfect.
And they worked together. And my boss is like, oh, you got to come out. This guy's incredible. He's great. You're going to learn
see what he does. Right.
And aside from drooling over the weather girl, who I wish I remember what her name was, she was beautiful. So in 95, if you were the weather girl on the morning show on QSR, here's to you. You were gorgeous back then. Probably still are today, too.
I hope it's Rachel Muni, but go ahead.
Could be. So Bobby's out there, and he's Bobby. You know, he's everything
wig on,
you remember.
Roster wigs. Wig, underwear, shirt off.
Crazy personality.
Yeah, right.
And at the time, I thought he was a jerk, because he was kind of a jerk to me, but he was also kind of making me pay my dues.
He was kind of working.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, he's
Bobby,
talking.
And I'll say this, if he were here, he was an irascible personality.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Especially after alcohol and football games, getting on the plane. Because he always had the helmet on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love. There's nobody I love more than Bobby. So, and he, I wish you were sitting here laughing.
I do too.
But as Seal said last night, it's a circle, right? So he's here because we're talking about it.
Totally. And as I got older, I still had a professional relationship with him, which, and there was a lot of mutual
my section
right there was mutual respect,
right?
Yeah. And he grew to respect me as a DJ, which to me was incredibly important. Like when the Godfather saying you're good, you can help me, that's a big
compliment.
Did you
know Johnny Kutz?
No.
He was the Godfather.
Okay.
He was the DJ, the Godfather.
Yeah, right.
East Baltimore.
Right.
He did a lot of karaoke. I subbed jobs for the Godfather. The night that Christian Laettner hit the shot, I subbed the job for the Godfather, Johnny Kutz, another late great.
Another.
Oh, man, we're going through all the legendary 1990s.
Exactly. All the big
Where's
big
Leverton?
Time.
Get Leverton in here, too. He was another guy that I did jobs for him, too, Ron Leverton. So
the amazing talent for any event is not even, there's nothing like it today. And that's not a knock at me. These personalities that they all created.
Batman came across the bridge to play music, and hundreds of people will come out and party with him.
Oh, yeah. You could just say DJ Batman's there and 600 people are showing up.
It's worth a $10 cover.
Twice. Exactly. So with Nick, all of a sudden, he calls me up and puts dog ears on my head and makes me bark jingle bells in front of 400 people. Because it's a Christmas holiday party, so I'm sitting there barking jingle bells. Exactly.
Okay, I got it.
And
I just did it for you.
I'm like,
that's pretty good.
Okay, I'm doing this, and the whole time I have a smile, but the 16-year-old in me is like, I'm making an idiot.
Now, have you ever pulled
and,
that one out? Have you ever had a kid bark jingle bells at a Christmas party? No?
I'm not going to lie. Yes, I have.
You see that?
I considered it a rite of
it's
passage.
It's a borrowed technique.
Exactly.
Is what it is. Josh is here. He's here from Elektra Entertainment. He DJs weddings, parties, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, and specialty occasions like the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I got my wacky Window Nation hat on. Don't change a thing about the hat. I don't want a regular hat. I like the bucket hat.
It looks
hat.
Good.
It's very Thurston Howell, I think, right? Very island. Yeah, I would say very Thurston Howell. 866 690 Nation, you buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. So you came into my life, I think, as a listener.
Yep.
I'm going to let you tell the Hulk Hogan story before you go. You have to do that. So you were a listener. I don't know. I think Bobby, you know, Bobby lost his leg late in his life and had a lot of mobility issues. Bobby DJ'd our Natchez boat party in New Orleans. At the end of his life, he had to get there. Man, I'll never forget. I was sitting at the Met Grill, the place that Pike is probably eating some free dinners in Seattle, on the hill. Probably had this Chateaubriand. But I'm at the Met Grill, one of the really Bruce Chrissy kind of beautiful, legendary place in Seattle. And I was on the I was on the baseball tour.
Okay, yeah.
And I was with Phil Gordon, legendary poker player.
Yep.
Phil Gordon, right?
Sure.
A friend of mine lives in Seattle. And I looked down on Facebook and Bobby died. I'll never forget, like, sitting in the window, I'm like, I didn't say goodbye. Yeah. I didn't, you know, like all of that. At the end of his life, you took over his sort of WNST DJing responsibilities, right? I mean, what parties did you do? Did we win or lose? It's important for me to know.
The first one we lost.
Did you do the Pittsburgh Sheridan?
Yeah, sure did.
Oh, my God.
Sure
that was an ish kicker. I'd use the real word if I weren't out in public. I mean, that was a poop kicker. I mean, that was a party.
That was – I still talk about it to this day because my favorite part about that is we left ungodly early. Of course, from
to
Baltimore to set up.
You were there before anybody, before the buses got there.
No, I rode on the bus with you with all my gear under it.
I remember
and
this.
And all of a sudden, the bus pulls up, and I see 10 guys from the hotel with these flatbeds. And the next thing I know, all my equipment's on the flatbeds and in the hotel it
See
goes.
That? Thank you, Sheridan Station Square in Pittsburgh.
Whew.
Who says I don't have friends in Pittsburgh?
Whew. So I'm like, I don't have to lift any of them. Next thing I know, I walk in, I set a tripod up, there's someone right behind me, because we had six speakers.
Kind of like you
there.
Setting the equipment up here with me earlier.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, just
exactly.
like that. Bring a roadie. You got to
exactly.
bring a roadie.
You always got to have a roadie. So I brought my dad.
Right.
My dad came with me, and the greatest part for me about that game, we'll talk about the party in a second, but at halftime, we were up. My father's talking trash to Steelers fans, and I'm like, great, I'm going to get killed here in Pittsburgh because my dad at 65 or however old he was at the time is talking trash to the fans, and the man never talks trash in his life. He's the most mild-mannered, softest man you'll ever meet in your life from
Brooklyn.
Do you
remember what I remember about that game, the championship game? I went up to the upper deck, and I looked to my right, and Lynn Swann was sitting up there talking to, like, some fans at the top of the bench seats, the only open upper deck, you know, the seating there is in Pittsburgh. And then I look to my left, and I'll never forget this. Ed Mulitalo is sitting there wearing a Raven hat when he played for the Lions.
Yeah.
He had left.
Right, he was gone.
And I looked, and I'm like, Ed? These are my brothers, man. I need to be here. I need to be here for my brothers.
That's awesome.
And so Ed Mulitalo ran bouncer for us up in Section 519.
Kept everyone
safe. At the
safe.
AFC Championship game. That stadium is interesting because when you're up in those seats,
yeah.
when Polamalu picked the ball off from Flacco and Stone with the yeah. penalty, right? Not that I remember things. I can't remember what I ate last night, but I can remember everything about that football game,
sure.
even though it was 2009. 15 years ago
15,
now.
15, that's right.
Right? 14
right.
and a half years ago, right? But when Flacco threw the pick and Polamalu stepped in front, the upper deck, the building moves.
Yep, and not in
it
a good
literally
way.
Moves. Yep. I mean, like.
You feel it.
It
yeah.
moves.
It
has a shimmy to it, like an earthquake.
Yep.
And all I remember was sitting down and saying, oh, my God.
Yep.
We're not going to the Super Bowl. And then, I mean, that's nothing compared to Cundiff. We went out to Indianapolis and lost, right?
Yep. Lee Evans,
Lee
Cundiff.
Evans, Cundiff. Oh. We lost to Pittsburgh again when we had the lead
yep.
a couple years later.
I was at that one, too, with you.
I ran into Jerome Bettis at halftime in the press box, and he conceded victory to me and my wife. I'm like, and then 2 hours later, our asses are beaten again. We're back on the bus, driving back down the mountain. I'm going into Somerset. So
that was a long ride home.
So
too.
You did some losers. Okay, I mean, we didn't win every year. We only won 1 year. I mean, at some point, right?
But you know,
did you do any other parties or just Pittsburgh?
I just did Pittsburgh, but the most important one I did was when you had, it was at, I want to say the old Wyndham or Sheridan downtown. You had Harbaugh and Billick there with Tomlin.
Oh, you did my charity
event. I did for
thank
Jens.
You.
Right.
Thank
we
you.
Did
thank
the,
you.
We did the happy hour
I thought
that.
You did.
Yeah, we were there for a few hours.
Now, we had lost Bobby Nick at that point.
Bobby was gone at that point.
Yeah. So that was in May of 16. Bobby passed in July
right.
of 15.
Yep.
So this is May of 16. Mike Tomlin came down from Pittsburgh.
Yep.
John and Brian, Dick Cass, a lot of people participated that night.
Yep. Raised Governor a lot of Hogan money. Was there.
Governor Hogan.
Yeah.
David Modell was the last time I saw David alive was that night.
Okay.
He gave a beautiful, beautiful speech that everybody should go check out on YouTube about life and living and my wife and just incredible stuff. Man, we're going back seven years now.
Yeah, time flies.
So, yeah. Well, Josh is here. He's doing parties. So, that's you did those events.
Yeah.
It seemed to me that we...
I thought we did a couple more,
you
too.
You did the one in the ballroom in Pittsburgh a couple years later when we lost the gold ballroom at
yeah,
the...
Yeah, I did that, too. It was at the Westin, right?
Westin.
Yeah, I was there for that, too.
You did more.
Yeah, I did
right,
that, too.
I knew we had more playoff
yep.
games. Oh, look at this. Chris Pica has found my Wild Lake story about Chris Berg.
Oh, wow.
Oh, look at this. He's found it. I was the lead story of High School Extra that day. It must have been High School Extra Light. January 25th, 1988. There it is. Girls top 20. Mount Hebron was number 2. Bobby Nick tried to get himself in the top 20, but he didn't. Breezy Bishop got she's doing all right at Walbrook. Western was 11-1. Delaney was 9-1. Catonsville 10-1. Man, they were having a good campaign there. IND and Mercy and Seton Keogh and Mercy and IND were still there. The sharpshooters. Lansdowne had a good program.
Yes.
They took two kids and went to Towson that year.
Yep.
But there it is. Bobby Nicky Fortune quoted: "We lost. They didn't beat us. She played such a good game. It's really a shame we didn't win." 31 points for Chris Berg.
Wow.
At home against Mount Hebron, but they lost. They lost. Lead story. Thank you very much, Chris Pica. I'm sure I have that clip.
Talk about research on demand.
In weathered. This.
Unbelievable.
This is the PR director for all things.
Unbelievable.
You know? Pike is going to be coming on here. Chris, you want to get in? Or what are you doing?
Now
you, well, I'm about to do Orioles and Ravens, so you're welcome in. You can make a new friend. You know Josh? Come! I got headsets here just for you.
He might like the Hogan
Pica,
story.
I thought Pica was going to get a crab cake. Chris Pica, ladies and gentlemen, blog and tackle. We're out here at State Fair, dude. I'm going to give you that one just in case you win. Maryland. He's only here for the lottery tickets, really, and for the deal on Windows. Chris, your mic should be live now. It's not now. It will be, and I'll even get your headset up. Chris Pica is back off the reservation from Dallas, Texas, where he has been spending his time working for Tell everybody, because you've been out online and I've been following. You've had a very eventful like 6 or 8 weeks, right?
Yeah, I was the PR director basically for the Seattle Sea Dragons of the XFL. Through an old contact when I worked for the New Orleans Saints. Our head coach at that time was Jim Hazlitt. Our GM was Randy Mueller. They are together with the Seattle...
The Aaron Brooks Saints.
Yeah, they are together in with the Seattle franchise, and the XFL has the hub. All 8 teams are there. They had a situation that required a PR person to come in and help them finish the season, so I packed up and headed to Dallas.
And you are a PR... professional for hire.
Professional for hire, and then they knew me, and so I
this
came in.
This is the gig economy now, man. This is
yeah, totally.
So it was a pretty amazing month. So it was just got back about a week ago, but a lot of fun and a great league, and a lot of our guys are getting ready to get an opportunity here in the NFL on camps in the next few weeks.
All right, so this is where I bring in, like, I don't take phone calls anymore, but I have, like, 2 guys that love the Orioles. Chris has worked in the industry a long time. Josh, I see you're rather level. Well, you're level-headed because you're an NST lister. You're a Baltimore Positive follower. You're a Luke Jones acolyte as well, and following all things Luke as well.
Absolutely.
Chris, you're old. I mean, I see the silver. I see the silver coming in on you, Josh, even though you're my little brother's age. 78, this kid was born when you graduated, Pika. So I would just say we're in an era right now where there's this perceived prosperity for the Ravens, and you can have at it with whether you think Lamar Jackson's going to win a Super Bowl or not, but we have a credible accomplished National Football League quarterback who's under contract. We have a new thing with Monken. We have all that. And then we have this baseball team doing something that most people your age
haven't seen.
You've never seen it, even though it's been a lifetime. Not a rebuild like this where we're not, but we bought players in 96
right.
and 97
right.
based on the largesse and how well Larry Lucchino ran the franchise, that the Colts left town, all the things that Pike and I lived through as young men. This is a, should I say renaissance? Can I say that, Chris, or is that not fair?
I don't know if we're at renaissance yet because I look at the Buck teams of the mid 2010s basically being that renaissance where they got to the playoffs a couple of years and it looked like they had things turned around. We could probably say renaissance in a year if this team makes the playoffs and is a consistent contender. But that group, that Buck group, was a consistent contender for about 4 years.
Oh, the 14 campaign was great.
Yeah.
And people are talking pennant race this year, and I'm thinking to myself, there's not really a pennant race anymore. And I don't think the Orioles are going to be a bubble team in this. I mean, I think the Orioles are going to be comfortable by September because I think they're good enough. I think they'll make additions. I don't know whether the creep that owns the team is really going to put money up to buy an old pitcher and get a horse and give up more young talent. And I have no idea what his intentions are for the lease and for long term and for how he's planning on negotiating his $600 million heist. But all that being said, I believe in Mike Elias. I believe they have good players. I don't know if they're going to screw things up with Rutschman or whether Rutschman's going to be happy here. That's all that's baked into the cake. But there is a world of possibility that makes all of these things possible in a way that I've been on the radio 31 years. And other than talking about Jeffrey Hammonds and Adam Lowen and Manny Machado and the old man was so cursed about all of it that you never could trust it. I'm not saying I'm trusting John Angelos. Why would I trust a guy who offered to open his books and hasn't? But I am saying that they're not. I don't think there's going to be a pennant race as the old people know it, where it's do or die, live or die. This is a big game. We got to win this series to stay alive. I think all that happens in October, and that's more new age baseball.
It is. It is new age baseball, especially with the wild card that they've set up, the Major League Baseball set up. They want as many cities as possible in September and October out at the ballpark because their team is in a playoff hunt. Maybe not a playoff race, but a playoff hunt. There are opportunities there. And, speaking about pitching, John Means at some point is going to come back to this team sometime maybe in August. And that could be a lift for them.
Well, D.L. Hall should have more season on
right. Right?
I mean,
there are some pieces in place, and I think I've told this to you a couple of times. There is a level of excitement that I haven't felt probably since 14 or 15 that goes, they have enough talent that they don't know any better, and they really believe after last year that they can get this done.
This is a guy who rode a bus with Michael Jordan, famously in 30 for 30. Yeah, so right. he Tito Francona, he rode, you know, I-85 and I-20 with these guys down in Alabama. So, I mean, you really know baseball at a different level being around it in that way. You really do.
Yeah, and so I look at the Orioles and say, hey, this is a ball club that could be, you know, very much in that hunt in September. Obviously, injuries are always going to be a factor. You know, keeping guys healthy. Can this team hit? Can this team hit? Can the bullpen, can they manage the innings of the bullpen so that Bautista's not having to go out there and throw 27, 30 pitch saves in the ninth to hold on the games?
Is Yennier Cornell going to the Hall of Fame?
What's that?
Is he going to the Hall of Fame?
A long way from that. Hey, as long as he can get him the playoffs this year, he can go wherever he wants.
He's going to the Hall of April.
Yes, he is
in
the Hall of April.
If you're like me and you go back to Tom Chope and Jim Fuller and Drungo Hazewood and Bobby Baylor and all of...
And Tom Chope was one of my favorite guys because there was a guy who literally, you know, had to scratch and claw to get to the 5-year mark to get his pension.
Well, okay, so this Cano guy, these 3 weeks, when I'm talking Renaissance baseball and things I ain't never seen before, I don't know that we've ever seen. And this is, I mean, he might have an ERA 6.5 by all. I don't, right? That's fine. But for a couple of weeks, I remember Bill Ripken, Jim Traber. I'm trying to think of anybody that's been a shot in the arm to the team at a time when it matters. They haven't played enough baseball that's mattered.
Lopez would have fallen in that group. I mean, Lopez had that great year.
Maybe and then Machado in 12, like, kind of gave the team a shot. Kind of really, I mean, you can...
Well,
I mean,
Rutschman last year,
no doubt. Right.
You can point to that like Rocky, you know what I mean?
There,
like,
it is.
Literally, right?
There's the difference. There is a difference maker right there, especially what they're 90 and... 68 since he's come on board.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm telling you they're playing this kind of ball. They're going to be a better team theoretically later in the summer in a lot of ways, because I'm not a guy thinking they're going to get hurt or Mountcastle's going to hit a buck and a half or, you know,
balanced
Austin
schedule.
Hayes can't do this.
By the way,
balanced
schedule
helps
them a lot. Yes.
So, I mean, there's all of these factors that play into this that I think they're a playoff team, and I think that, you know, that takes the edge off it for an old guy that there aren't big series that are do or die, but they're bringing sprinklers to the outfield and $10 tickets, and I'm assuming somebody in there is trying. All of a sudden, I'm seeing a different level of effort. I met Mike Elias. He was nice to me. He took a book. Like, I'm seeing a different level of effort than even what I'm seeing from the football team at this point, where the baseball, they both need to sell tickets. They both have empty seats. But the baseball team's in progress right now that they're doing this sprinkler thing. Okay, I mean, you ran minor league baseball, Pica, you know?
It's whatever it takes to get people out to the ballpark.
Now you're going to games, right?
Yeah.
You're a season ticket.
I got a 13-game plan.
Now, Josh, how many games you been to the last 10 years?
Last 10 years? Does COVID count?
Yes.
Okay. 5.
You go every other year?
Pretty much.
And you and your dad love baseball. I know this about you.
We do.
All right. Cost, price point, downtown, Freddy Cats of the city. Wait. Give me what hat. What? Go ahead.
Boredom, quite frankly. It was not fun to go.
Okay.
There was, to me, like... Look, I'm a DJ. We talked about the events
energy.
And everything. I need energy.
Beyond
the excitement.
Crab race and the mustard race.
Right. I mean, and who cares who wins anyway? It's a
relish.
Cartoon. Right.
Always
relish.
Relish. Yeah.
This is the only win that counts. You win the money.
Right.
Anyway. But
Bet.
Boring. You know, it wasn't exciting. Some other things going on. Thankfully for me, business was great, so it limited my time that I could go. But it just wasn't even a fun experience because you didn't feel like the team was even trying to be competitive for so long. It just didn't feel, even though you're doing a rebuild and there's different things going on from a younger talent, different things like that.
I thought getting rid of Adam Jones was kind of like not
that
smart.
Hurt, yeah.
Why make him go play in Japan over a little bit of money to have an ambassador for your game?
And someone who connected with the
city. Waste that money on some relief pitcher. Give it to Adam Jones.
Right, exactly.
Pay him a little bit too much at the end to hang around. Markakis, those kind of, you know, the the guys that made that team up, they're near and dear in the same way that every all the Royals heroes, Moustakas and all, they're long gone. And I saw them playing Kansas City land. Nobody, I mean, Kansas City's a ghost town for baseball. And that's the thing about baseball. It happens quick, Chris.
Well, it happened in Atlanta. I was down in Atlanta. I was working TV for the visiting teams that came in that ballpark. I watched this team under Snitker go from a not a great baseball team, but watch them build. Now, of course, they go into a new ballpark, new energy. But when you walked into the ballpark on a given night, in the last few years I was down there until 19, there was a palpable energy when the Braves played. Now, partially because the Braves draw from everywhere in the Southeast. So, you know, you wanted to get a ticket if you were from Richmond or if you were from
Memphis.
Right.
Yeah, whatever, sure.
That was your team, so they showed up and the fans showed up, but you had guys, you know, Chipper's at the tail end of his career.
Every little old lady south of Richmond is
right.
a Braves fan.
But
like,
there is this energy at the Braves games, A, because they're good, but you could watch them with Acuña and some of those guys. They got some great talent on that team. I've always contended that as much as Baltimore is a football town, I will always say this, Baltimore right now is a closet baseball town.
Yep.
But you look at that playoff game against Detroit, you know, the Delmon Young double, and watch the energy in the stadium that day.
It's possible.
And I'm in Syracuse watching that on TV, getting ready for a college football game that night and going crazy in my hotel room. There are 40,000 people in this town, in this area, in this region, that will come out to those games that matter in September and October and those playoff games because there are baseball fans here. You see it. Now, they, like I said, they've been hiding out.
It's been dormant.
Right. And again, to his point, is it boring? Now your games are 2.5 hours. With what they're doing with speeding up the clock, it's a lot different to go out to the ballpark than it was even a year ago.
The last 6 weeks, the energy around the city's different. I was at Costas on Monday night. Sound is up. Friends of mine from Pikesville drove across the city, walked in, table of eight, all guys that played golf at Caves. They came over, and they wanted the Oriole game on, and they were engaged in the Oriole game. Yep. They wanted to watch the Oriole game together. They planned the evening around watching the Oriole game and eating crabs at Costas on a Monday night, and they were all like, they all know the history of baseball. Yep. They all live the history of Baltimore baseball. They've all run from this modern era of all the Angelos family has done to undermine all of it, and they're all waiting before they die. These are all guys in their 60s. They're all waiting since 1983.
Yeah.
For the magic, right? And we're on the cusp of having it back. And I've said this for 4 months. I just hope T.J. Brightman and John Angelos and Mike, I just hope they don't screw it up, because they have a really royal golden opportunity here between now and when the Ravens kick off against the Houston Texans, that by then I don't think there'll be a playoff race. I think it'll be, are we a 2 seed, a 1 seed? But we're in the playoffs,
right.
And then it's who's going to pitch game one.
Right.
And you know those short series, I mean,
right.
You get your heart broken.
Let's also not forget, too, that they talk about minor league baseball, how much that's changed. In 1983, when the Orioles won, the teams were far flung. I mean, Rochester was a Triple-A. Now you've got these guys who they've been selling as the new hope of the Orioles have all been playing in the state of Maryland somewhere, whether that's Aberdeen, whether that's down at Salisbury,
right.
Whether that's Bowie. You can drive to watch those guys play for
every
a couple bucks
night,
tonight.
Somebody's got Jackson Holiday up
right.
on my Facebook.
Yep.
Right.
19-year-old, right?
Yep, and that's how they've been able to sell that, because those minor league teams are here. You can go watch these guys make their way up, and they've built that little bit of excitement, that little groundswell that we're seeing now is partially because of the way the minors are set up in the state of Maryland with the Orioles organization.
Well, I went to Ottawa last September, by the way, just to...
Oh, wow.
Just to say, like, wow, was that not a good
that
idea?
That was a hype.
That was a crazy idea.
Well, and the best thing about now is we've had players that we've heard about over the years, the young kids coming in, whether it was, you mentioned Adam Lowen before, Larry Bigby, another one from way back, and all the pitchers like the Bo Hales and all those guys. We actually have young kids who are developing and turning into players.
Well,
and
they're not BSing you about
talent.
Like whether Alex Ochoa is going to the Hall of Fame or not, right?
Alex Ochoa, the pride for Bobby Bonilla.
I can give you a lot of names. Yeah. You know, we can.
Yeah.
Chris Pike is here. Josh is here from Electra Entertainment. Tell everybody, give your elevator pitch, because I promised you'd be out of here 3 o'clock and it's 3:05.
We're good.
In bonus time for the Maryland Lottery. We're here on behalf of the Maryland Lottery. We're at State Fair in Catonsville. I have been giving these away. We're going to be at the local in Fallston. Boy, a lot of people in here having lunch. We're going to have winners in here today. These are the winning lucky tickets. Also for Window Nation. But you're a local DJ.
Yep.
You're a friend of mine. You're a sports guy. You've been awesome in DJing events for us. Maybe I'll have a 25th anniversary event, huh?
We need to. It's been a while since we've done a live party together.
I'm not going to make Ray Bachman a DJ if I have a 25th anniversary. I'm going to make him drink and eat gummies the way God meant for him to do.
We're going to make Ray a guest.
Ray will be legal by then, too, by the way.
He's
going to
be a guest guest. Ray, because Ray always does the guest DJ. We're going to make him a guest, so he goes and has a good time.
Yeah, I reached Ray and I text 3 days a week. I don't know, some way, some shape or form. We're idiots back and forth.
Hey.
I texted with him yesterday. At some point, I'm going to get him back on the show. I'm too busy, man. I've got jobs. I got trivia.
Oh, he's all over the place. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I invited him to see Seal with me last night, and I offered to pay and everything. Tickets were $3. But I offered to pay. And
shocker.
But I offered,
Hey.
It's Seal.
Right. Good. So, but tell everybody what you do and how they can hire you and fire you and love you and dance to you and tell everybody that.
Yeah, hopefully they'll hire and not fire. Right. Hopefully it's hire and rebook. It's Electra Entertainment. It's Electra DJ. So that's ElectraDeejay.com. 410-461-2557. There's my international voice right there.
There's your DJ voice.
And exactly. And
deepen the bass on it a little
bit.
Yeah,
we can go a little deeper.
I can make
ladies
you sound
and gentlemen,
like
105.7.
You can get that whole hollow thing.
So whether you're having a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, if you want the best lights, the highest energy MCs, the best DJs, the most incredible dance talent you'll ever see at your party, give me a call, shoot me an email, josh@electradj.com. We will show you exactly why we're the best at what we're doing, which is throwing the most high energy party you have ever seen this side of Bobby Nick, because Bobby Nick was the true inspiration for everything
we do. And they may make somebody bark a jingle bells at your party.
We very well may, and I'll tell you my Hulk Hogan story, too.
Yeah, I want your Hulk Hogan story, because Pike is he's a wrestling fan.
He's a wrestling fan.
And Luke will I'm going to take that. You got to send that picture to Luke, because Luke's going to love this more than anybody. You and Luke are contemporary. You're born sort of in the same sort of era, same sort of time. I never had a bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
I don't even think I had a 13th birthday party, to be honest with you. My 15th birthday, Jim Palmer pitched game 3 of 1983 World Series. So
that's a pretty cool birthday.
Yeah, that's my birthday. That was my, yeah. And we won. That was a Benny Ayala night. It was my 15th birthday. So I do remember that. Your Hulk Hogan thing, he was showing me.
Yep.
So well, it started with my Aerosmith belt.
Right.
So I'm wearing my Aerosmith belt buckle for Bill Wiedel from CFG Bank Arena. This is old school 78, Walk This Way. And I collect Pacifico rock and roll belt buckles. And he says to me, I had a bunch of wrestling belts. I said, sometimes they pop up when I do an eBay search and they'll look like what Harley Race wore or what Dusty Rhodes wore. And, I guess you could buy, if there's a picture of it, an old Inside Wrestling or whatever, you could probably get Nick Bockwinkel's AWA belt or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
If you look hard enough, you'll find it.
Okay, so you're that guy, as is a lot of people in our audience.
Yep, so I was collecting wrestling championship belts. And as I was kind of ready to do something else, I started selling some of them. And I had the one of the original WWF Winged Eagle belts, it was pretty much in hack for 10 years from 88 to 98. So Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Savage, Shawn Michaels, et cetera, Bret Hart. And
is this something you buy online on WWF for $129, or no?
This was I was never doing those cheap replicas. This wasn't an original, but it was a collector's edition. So custom leather, custom made replica with the.
It looked and felt every bit
it looked
like
and felt
the strap.
Every, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It was the strap. It was.
So this isn't a toy thing.
No,
okay.
It's not.
I
a
didn't
toy.
Know that.
It was.
Okay.
It was expensive.
Okay.
So this last belt, I'm like, you know what? I got to do something with this. And I was a huge Hulk Hogan fan. The theme of my bar mitzvah was Joshamania. And because I was a 13-year-old wrestling fan, I had red and yellow Hulkamania shirts made, but it said Joshamania. Yesterday was the 32nd anniversary of Joshamania.
I saw it, dude, in line at the bathroom at M3 last week with a hot rod.
Yeah,
you know, Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper.
It was literally the throwback hot rod. He was not wearing a kilt, but I got the message. But go ahead.
So a couple years ago, I found out how to ship the belt to Hulk Hogan. Hulk signed it. And in addition to shipping the belt down, I had two of my Joshamania t-shirts left. So I threw that in the box with the belt. And when it came back to me a few weeks or a month or two later, whatever it was, I have this beautiful same belt. I made sure it was the same. I knew what the tell was so I could see it. Signed by Hulk. I had a picture of him holding that belt signed, and I was able to verify that. Certificate of authenticity. And then I pull out the Joshamania t-shirt, which Hulk Hogan signed, and my wife caught a picture of me literally for a minute to a minute and a half. I must have been 13 years old again.
Right, of course.
Yeah. And then as an anniversary present, she took the belt to a local framing store, and they mounted the belt, mounted the shirt, mounted the picture of Hulk holding the belt, and the certificate of authenticity. This 40-pound frame is now hanging on my wall in my basement. A throwback to that day, and it was always a meaningful day, but then getting this, it was literally 30 years later, getting that final piece. Hey, it was all about Hulk Hogan, and as a kid, I thought Hulk Hogan was the greatest thing as a wrestling fan, and, you know.
I'd buy belt buckles now to give me that feeling.
Right,
a little
exactly,
bit, right?
Yeah.
But I had a recently, you'll appreciate this, Pike, because you've been AWOL with the XFL for the last 2 months.
It's hanging with The Rock.
Yeah, as I'm on, you know, online trying to find belt buckles to buy from old rock and roll bands, I just got my Allman Brothers belt the other day, so I'm pleased about that. I started seeing Houston Oilers stuff. And I purchased a Warren Moon white jersey from the late 80s, a legitimate fan I paid $25 and it came, didn't smell great, but I fixed that. Then I saw a Dan Pastorini blue, like a real one, that was a Mitchell and Ness.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it looks legit. It doesn't look like it was made illicitly, it looks legit. And it's a small, and it's a 7, and it's blue, and I ordered it. I think I paid $28 for this thing, right? And it came in a box, and I pulled out this Dan Pastorini jersey that's actually going to fit me. And I looked at it, and I'm like, I was 13 again. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? And I don't know that there's many things. The Oilers are bringing the Derek back this year, right? The Titans are
wearing
it. Yeah,
I think they are, because they can have multiple helmets.
They're going to wear it one time this year. I don't know if it's going to be in London or not.
To back off your two stories, my picture like that, on my honeymoon, my wife and I come up to Baltimore. We get married down in Alabama. We come up here. We get into the back of the Babe Ruth Museum. My wife has a picture of me holding the Super Bowl V trophy, and I must have looked like I was 8 again. It's one of my wife's favorite pictures of me holding that trophy like a baby, you know, to have that. It's like that. There are certain things that just bring you back to that time that you just go, wow, this is like really cool. Whether that's a belt or whether it's things like that. I mean, it's just, you know, it's amazing.
Somebody here that will think Super Bowl V is also cool. That's a little tease for a segment coming later. Bill Wiedell from CFG Bank will be here. Chris is going to hang out and do a segment with us. We're going to talk some sports and XFL and football. I haven't even said the L word, Lamar. Ravens Super Bowl contenders? You a believer?
Yeah.
You're a believer?
I'm a believer.
AFC's hard.
There you go.
I'm not there yet.
I'm going to take a break. That's good. We're out of State Fair. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Pike has got one. Josh has one. Call Letcher Entertainment. It's all brought to you by Window Nation, 86690 Nation. We got a lot of people here. Got a lot of lottery tickets that are going to be given away. It's a good thing that John Martin and Roz and Doug and everybody gave me a lot of tickets to give away, and Seth as well. I had Seth Elkin on this week from the Maryland Lottery. He's from Pittsburgh. And he looks young. But he talks enough-ish with the 79. Like, Willie Stargell was his first hero. And he put on his Willie Stargell jersey in the segment.
Ouch.
Which made me end the segment.
Yeah.
You know, not quite like Burt Blylevin offering me to wear his 1979 World Series ring. This is the year we're going to get even for all of that. I am Nestor. We are WNST. Back for more. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I've had a Cobb salad, but they have promised me a crab cake here. I have promised Bill Wiedell from CFG Bank a crab cake. We're going to talk rock and roll, Aerosmith, Kiss, Janet Jackson, Lizzo, Anita Baker, Brian Adams, John Mayer, all coming to Baltimore. Who knew? Back for more Baltimore Positive. Stay with us. We're at State Fair.